Well, good morning. Please turn your Bibles to Romans 10, 14 through 21. Like I said, all of our Old Testament and New Testament reading and our reading scripture portion is also part of this this sermon as well. In some ways, kind of like that introduction that I was telling you, that devotional on systematic theology. What systematic theology is it's systematizing what the Bible talks about particular areas. And in some ways, that's kind of like topical sermons or this sermon today. You see, there's not like, hey, I want to learn about the doctrine of humanity. And you're like, oh, go to Genesis 24, verse 15 and following. No, it's the scriptures are saturated with the doctrine of humanity. The scriptures are saturated with the doctrine of Christ. The scriptures are saturated with a lot of things. And you have to find these passages throughout scripture and you put them together. So it's this concise, linear, logical explanation of what the scriptures is talking about on that particular subject. And today we're talking about how to listen to sermons better. And this passage, Romans 10, 14 through 21, really talks about like how Paul is saying like how beautiful preaching is. But every Christian listens to sermons, right? And this might seem a little self-serving. However, I think we all struggle with listening to sermons, even myself as well. Very few Christians are ever taught how to listen to sermons. Scripture assumes that preaching is one of the primary means by which God speaks to his people, just as our catechisms were talking about that. But because of that, the way we listen is not a small thing. It is not merely a matter of preference or personality. It's deeply a theological issue. And if preaching was just simply a TED talk, then listening would just be optional, right? If preaching is God speaking through his word, then listening rightly becomes a matter of obedience, faith, and even life and death. That's why Jesus warns us in Luke 8:18. He says, "Take care then how you hear, for the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." And so before we read our text, we have two questions that we want to ask to understand how we can be better at listening to sermons. And the first is, what is preaching and what is its focus? That's our first question. What is preaching and what is its focus? And the second question is, how do we get better at listening to sermons? So let us read the text and then pray. Romans 10, verses 14 through 21. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed what he has heard from us. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? For Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. And then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me, and I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would come, Spirit of God, may you work in our hearts to receive your word, that we would pay attention to it and receive it with joy and happiness and apply it in our lives. Work through us, O Father, and it's in Christ's name, amen. Before we get into our questions, to give you an illustration that kind of covers through this is actually a passage that we read in our reading of Scripture earlier in a worship service. And Jesus gives us a vivid picture of why this question matters so much in the parable of the sower. He describes the seed being scattered across the field. The seed is good. The sower is faithful. The problem is not the word. The problem is how it's been received. And some of that seed falls along a path, and it never sinks in, and it never takes root. And before anything can happen, the birds come and snatch it away. Later, Jesus explains exactly what that means. When someone hears the word and does not truly receive it, the evil one, like the birds in the parable, comes and takes it away. That means listening to sermons is not a neutral activity. It is a spiritual battleground. Every time the word is preached, something is happening. Either the word is being received, guarded, and acted upon, or it's being left exposed. And whenever the word lies exposed, Satan is eager to take a hold of it. And so when Jesus says, take heed to how you hear, he's not giving advice about attention spans. He's issuing a warning. The way we listen determines whether the word takes root or whether it is snatched away before it ever takes fruit. And so let us start with our first question: what is preaching and what is its focus? Now, preaching begins with the basic truth about God, that God speaks and God has never been silent towards his people. From the very beginning, he has made himself known by his word, that the scriptures does not present God as distant or unknowable, but as God who reveals himself. And that's why we see in Hebrews 1:1-2, it says this. It says, "Long ago, as many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, and in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created in the world." That God spoke through the prophets, and now he speaks quite climactically through the Son, through his word. And that is a great movement of redemptive history, that preaching stands back to what God has done, and it proclaims it, it applies it to God's people. All the while, the Spirit of God is working through his word as it's being preached, and he's applying it specifically to his people. That God has always used men as instruments of his voice, or people as instruments of his voice. That Moses spoke God's words, the prophets spoke God's words, and the apostles spoke God's words. And God still uses ordinary men to speak his word today. But this is a difference about prophecy in the Old Testament, and even the apostles, and preaching to this day. Because those men The prophets and them, they were revealing what Scripture, God has told them. But for us as preachers, we're not revealing anything new per se. We're preaching not a fresh revelation where I'm like, oh, I got a word of God. Everybody needs to eat a ribeye steak every Sunday. Like that would be good, but that's not from Scripture. That's just from my own desires, right? So I'm not giving you a new revelation from God, but I'm proclaiming God's word that has already been revealed in his scriptures. Just as Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a word of men, but what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. That verse tells us something crucial. That preaching is not authoritative because of the preacher. It's not authoritative because the word is authoritative because the word is being preached. That scripture is faithfully being proclaimed, and God himself is addressing the people through the scriptures, through the preaching, by the power of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, preaching is not mechanical. The preacher explains and he proclaims the word, but the Holy Spirit applies it again. The Spirit takes that same word and he presses it into different hearts, into different circumstances, and calls people to different repentance and the same faith, same obedience and comfort and perseverance. That's what's so amazing. You can preach the same sermon, but everybody in the room receives it a little bit differently. And that's the power of the Spirit working through the preaching of his word. Just as Paul says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so preaching is one of God's means of grace, of bringing people to faith, for sustaining them in faith, just as we went over our catechism questions, question 89 and 90. But of that, preaching is, again, not a TED Talk. It's not emotional, motivational speaking. It's not a moral instruction designed to help people improve themselves. It's not stoicism dressed up in Christian language, but it is one of the ordinary means of grace in which the Spirit grows us through the preaching of the word. That preaching reveals God's character to his people, and the ultimate revelation of God's character is Jesus Christ. And that is where we say, well, what is preaching and what is its focus? Well, preaching is God's Spirit working through as the word is being explained and applied in real time. The Spirit is working. But what is its focus? Well, its focus is on the work of God and his character through the Son, Jesus Christ. Go look, when you get home, look at Luke chapter 24. I wanted more scripture, but I knew you guys would be like, okay, we're reading too much scripture right now. But go home and read Luke chapter 24, and Jesus explains that the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, they all testify about him. That on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is saying, hey, I'm the dude that all the scripture is talking about. That the whole Bible moves towards Christ, and therefore faithful preaching must move towards Christ and the character of God who saves sinners. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:2 says this, I determine not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. You see, preaching is not a TED Talk. It is not motivational speaking, because you could get better in life, but if you don't have Christ, it's nothing. Like, you might be a moral person, but you're still going to hell. That there is something about Christ that makes you want to live, wants you to endure, wants you to go through suffering, wants you to get through it all, wants you to hold upon the one who's died for you. It is not about just becoming a better moral person. If you want that, you can go to Barnes & Noble, but you won't have eternal life. Preaching is Christ-centered, not because it's trendy or safe, but because it's biblical. That Christ is the fullest expression of who God is and what God has done. To preach faithfully is to proclaim Christ and as he has been revealed in the scriptures. So preaching is speaking, God speaking through his word by the Spirit through men centered on Christ, calling his people to faith and obedience. And if that is what preaching is, then the way that we listen matters deeply. And that brings us to our second question that we have asked, that how can we get better at listening to sermons? And how do we get better at listening in sermons? Scripture gives us both warnings and guidance here on this issue. And we can think about five postures, okay? Five postures. Three of those five are negative postures that hinder how we listen. And two of those postures are positive postures that Scripture calls us to. And so the first negative posture that we should be aware of that we can get better at listening to sermons is the question, are we distracted? You see, Luke 8:18 says, take care and then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. You see, distraction dulls spiritual hearing. When we can be present in body, but absent in heart. For instance, it's just random because I have ADD, it's like squirrel. But there's this wonderful thing where it was a question and there was like, this thing is like, hey, what do guys think about? And then all of a sudden you have a Darth Vader with two like AR-15s going, you know, with the theme song, bomb, bomb, bomb. And you go, pff, pff, pff. And he's like shooting these guns off to the actual like sound of of Star Wars. Yes, you're welcome. That's what I think about, right? So the point is like we get distracted. Like the things are just bobbling in our heads. So when you get a song, it just stays in your head and it's hard to pay attention. And let's be honest, in today's digital age, it's hard for all of us to not be distracted. We live in a world where the internet marketers are constantly competing for our attention. They want you to buy their product, to follow their account, to click on their link. And this is not like the old days where you're like, okay, I got to go through two commercials and I can get back to my TV show. No, you have to sit through a commercial or two, but now I'm telling you, we all get distracted. And the world knows it. Just look at the average length of a Netflix show. Most of them are about 22 minutes long. And that's with action, music, and cinema magic. That they know that they will lose your attention if they go too long. And attention spans have been studied. They've been engineered. They've been shortened. Consider another example. Today in our political debates are tightly moderated and capped out around 90 minutes long. But back in 1858, during the Lincoln-Douglas debates for an Illinois seat, Senate seat, it was expected that each candidate would speak over an hour long, and these debates lasted hours. And the audience actually expected it. And these weren't just smart elites from Yale. These were people that were just normal, just blue-collar working folk, yet they could have that attention span to follow us. And this tells us something, that something has changed. And it's not because we become less intelligent. It's because our attention has been trained very differently than long ago. And so understand this. You are going to get distracted. You're probably distracted right now. You have been shaped by the world to have a shorter attention span, and Satan is going to take advantage of that. Jesus tells us in the parable of the sower that the birds come, they snatch away the seed, and that falls on the path. And later he explains that the birds represent the evil one, the one who snatches away the word of God before it ever takes root. Now, this isn't accidental. Preaching is vitally important, and Satan doesn't want you to receive the word of God. He doesn't want you to hear it. He doesn't want you to understand it. He doesn't want you to apply it. He would rather distract you so the word never sinks in. Just like Moses preached before the people in Deuteronomy, and he says, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse." So preaching today still sets before people the word of God that leads them to either eternal life or eternal death. And because of that, the devil doesn't want you to listen. Listening to sermons require attentiveness. God does not speak trivial words, and distracted listening treats God's word as if it's trivial. And so how do we start fighting with distraction when we start listening to sermons? Well, the first thing is, you need to realize that this is a spiritual battle going on right now, spiritual warfare going on right now. That every time you sit under the preaching of the word, that is the first thing you must recognize. That you're coming to worship on the Lord's Day, it's a means of grace, it matters, and the devil does not want you to receive it. But the second thing that you can do is limit your exposure to digital content before you come to church. Every time you look at one of these things, these wonderful tools, but also can rot your brain as well. Every time you look at this thing, especially the first thing in the morning, you are imprinting upon yourself whatever you are consuming. That social media is a form of catechesis, so to speak. Just as our catechisms teach us and our children and shape our understanding of spiritual truth, the media which we consume is shaping us, forming us, and training our desires. The messages we absorb, they mold us. The social media that's designed trains us to crave constant stimulation and fragmented attention. And so simply choosing not to scroll through social media on a Sunday morning can be a helpful discipline. It prepares your heart and mind to receive the word rather than programming you for distraction before worship ever begins. I'm not saying you shouldn't look at social media and you shouldn't look at entertainment. It's sinful, off limits. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is be careful when you consume it, especially when it's before you worship the Lord. The third helpful practice in fighting distraction is knowing you're all going to fail. That you will get distracted, trust me. And when that happens, don't beat yourself up. Again, what I'm saying, Christianity is not about intensity. It's about endurance. It's about walking with the Lord. It's about healing yourself and trusting in the one who heals you through his Spirit and through his grace. Instead of treating a sermon like, treat it like a listening exercise. Listen how you listen and take it as a practice and effort. And throughout time, you'll get better at paying attention. You might need to take notes. You might have to pray while listening, saying, Lord, make this preacher a little bit better, right? Ask the Lord to help you refocus. Maybe the goal is simply to grow in your ability to listen. Maybe that's your goal for this year is, Lord, may I have a better attention span to the listening of the preaching of the Lord or just listening to people talk to me and not zoning out. You might need to take notes. Maybe a goal is that, and the Lord will help you by his Spirit, and he will show and need what you have to apply. But our second negative posture, so our first was attention span. Another negative posture is listening to sermons and being deceived. Hear me now. Being deceived that you're being discerning when you're actually just critical and mean, right? Some of us have been like, and like really frustrated, but you're not frustrated over the good things. You're just like, oh, he's not funny enough, or oh, like I didn't like the illustrations, right? I'm not talking about necessarily just in preaching in general. There's a difference between discernment and criticism. Criticism often flows from pride. It looks for faults, style, and issues, preferences, rather than truth. Discernment asks, is this faithful to Scripture? But criticism says, did I like the way it was being said? A critical spirit often misses genuine truth because it's more interested in judgment than really reception. Discernment is seeing the deep beneath the rough of the, seeing the diamond beneath the rough of the surface, where criticism is often superficial and shallow. And you're not going to be entertained here. You're going to hear the word of God. And sometimes God speaks to us in different ways. And sometimes how dare we proclaim one is God's word over the other through the preaching of the word based upon its eloquence and concise nature. Yeah, we all struggle with this to some degree or another. In fact, your boy, I was one of those. So my mentor long ago, a very smart man, he's written his own systematic theology. He's prepared many men for ordination for my denomination, which are very grueling exams. And this man is probably one of the most smartest men I know personally. And he and I went to Presbytery back in Rocky Mountain Presbytery. So Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado. And it was there was this old cowboy preacher at Presbytery. And to be honest, he was quite awful. It was so hard for me to listen to him preach. And I was so critical of this man. I was picking him apart in my brain. I was judging how he was executing the text. And he was just butchering everything. At least that's what I was thinking with my prideful heart. Yet to my surprise, the man that I looked to more as a master and I am his disciple type relationship, as I looked at this man who I thought, this man's going to totally like be doing the same thing with me. He's much smarter than I am, so he's going to see all the faults and he's going to be picking this preacher apart, right? But to my surprise, this man was attentively listening, actually enjoying the sermon, and that actually messed with me. I'm like, Alfred,
this is terrible. How are you enjoying this in my mind? And then after the sermon, he starts talking to me about it, and he describes all the good stuff that the guy was preaching about, which was true. But let me tell you something. Our pride can get in the way, especially when we know a thing or two about the Bible, and we think we know what's going on than what's going in the pulpit. I only tell you this because I want you to listen to sermons better, and you're only going to know, you're only going to be tempted by the devil when he wants to puff you up with your pride to think that you know better. And all of us, this is distracting all of us from what God wants to reveal to us. Again, just like the parable with the sower and the seed, where the bird snatches up the seeds that were planted, and he does that with pride. And with us as Presbyterians, we are definitely a prideful lot because our denomination is quite intelligent. It has high academic standards for their pastors. And I remember talking to a pastor once back in Montana, and we were talking about the frustrations of the job, so to speak, right? Everybody has a job. Everybody has some things that we don't like doing, right? We all have that. And we were talking about this, and the pastor said something that could correct all of us, including myself. But he was telling me one time he got done with a sermon, and one of his parishioners came up super frustrated with him, his Presbyterian church, of course, and told him that his sermon was too simple, and that it lacked theological depth, and that anyone and anyone into some criticism that he expected to be impressed by some new theological insight from this sermon. And the pastor said this, which was, it hit me when he said it. He says, while this man was telling me about how simple my sermon is, I know behind the scenes that his marriage is in shambles. And he actually, if he just listened to the simple sermons, it'd actually be better for him and his marriage. You see, sometimes we want to just hear something that puffs us up and makes us, oh, that's something smart. I can keep that in the back of my head, right? But this is the thing. God is trying to transform us through the preaching of his word. And when our pride gets in the way, it's like Satan snatching that from us to apply it in our hearts. We instead of saying, oh, man, I got a bad marriage and I need to work on it, we're like, man, this preacher, he's not smart enough. Like, he needs to have a little bit better. He needs to do some more reading. He needs to do more study, right? And trust me, the devil is going to make you all puffed up and conceited because he wants to take away what the preaching of the word does. The third and last negative posture is, are we gullible, right? That's something for us to reflect on. Are we gullible? At the opposite extreme is listening without testing all the scriptures that warns us against as well. Just like Acts 17, the Bereans. Remember the Bereans? They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Paul was telling them stuff, and this is the apostle in Acts 17. He's telling them about the gospel, and the Bereans are like, let's look at the scriptures and measure this with what Paul is saying. That Paul himself in Galatians 1 says, if anyone preaches any other gospel, and he says, including myself, let him be accursed. That you should be discerning. Just because I'm up here in this pulpit, you shouldn't be like, everything that Anthony says is golden. You probably already know that, right? But this is the thing. We have to test what the preacher says with what? With scripture. That is what we need to be, is discerning and not gullible. Listening doesn't mean believing everything uncritically. That God calls his people to test what they hear by the scriptures. Instead of testing the preacher's words with scripture, the gullible listener will receive and accept it, whatever the message is, based upon its packaging and delivery. Here's another example. Throughout my life, I have seen in some Christian circles where they don't listen, read, or watch anything secular, and they only consume Christian content, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's not the point. But here is the huge problem. These people that are like, I ain't listening to anything secular, I'm not reading or watching anything secular,
soon as they find out whatever they're consuming is Christian, it's almost like they check their brains out at the door. And some Christian content is actually worse than secular content. It's shallow dribble, or in some ways, at worst, it's just unbiblical teaching. But we can say, oh, but it's Christian, and we don't have that discerning spirit to test things with the scriptures. And so our first positive posture is, are we discerning? That's a question that we need to examine ourselves. If we say, okay, am I distracted? Am I prideful? Am I gullible? But then the second is, am I discerning? Discernment is neither cynical nor naive. It assumes that God speaks and measures what he has heard by the word of God. Just as John, 1 John 4:1 says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Again, you should be testing what I say. Again, I invite it. Please come up and say, hey, like, I'm curious, how did you get that from that? Like, I've spent a week studying this. I'd love to talk to you more about it. And I'd love to clear up any confusion. But discernment protects the church. It honors God's truth, and it listens carefully, and it tests faithfully. True discernment is not proven nearly by recognizing truth that is spoken. Even shallow soil can receive the word quickly. Even rocky ground can respond with joy. But discernment, if it stops at recognition alone, and this is important, it's incomplete. Discernment must press beyond hearing into response. Otherwise, like the seed lying exposed on the path, the words remain vulnerable, easily taken away before it takes root. And so we come to our fifth positive posture, and that is, are we doers of the word, not just hearers of the word? And this is what scripture presses us hardest in James 1:22. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hearing without obedience is not neutral. Scripture calls it self-deception. True hearing always aims towards obedience. If the word is truly received, it will bear fruit. That Jesus warns that there are those who hear his words but do not do them. That's the kind of hearing that does not lead to spiritual life. Just like Moses said in Deuteronomy 30, where he says, I set before you life and death, therefore choose life. The word that gives life is the same word that brings judgment if it is rejected. And that's why hearing matters. Jesus himself teaches us how the word is lost, and not just that it's truly received. In the parable of the sower, he tells us that the seed is scattered, that some of it falls on the path, and before it takes root, the birds come and devour it. Again, Jesus explains this, that is the work of the deceiver. And that image should sober us. The birds don't snatch away a seed that has been taken root. They snatch away the seed that lies exposed. They snatch away the seed that has been heard but not embraced. The seed that has been admired but not acted upon. The seed that has been recognized as truth but not been obeyed. Sometimes people reject the preaching of the word not because it's false, but because it demands something from them. This is why Scripture will not allow us to separate from hearing and doing. To hear God's word and to refuse to respond leaves the seed lying on the surface of our hearts where the word lies unprotected and Satan is eager to take it. Distraction, pride, and spiritual laziness become the ground where the birds easily land. James says again, hearers who does not do the word deceives himself. That deception is not accidental, it's dangerous. It creates illusion of faith that without fruit of actual faith. It convinces a person that because they recognize truth, that they actually must be walking in it. That Jesus says otherwise in the parable of the sower, that only one soil proves the word that was truly received, that it was the soil that hears the word, understands it, and bears fruit. The difference isn't intelligence. It's obedience. It's not excitement. It's endurance. It's not agreement alone. It's action. Being a doer of the word is not about perfection. Again, like I said earlier, Christianity is not about intensity. It's about endurance. It's holding on to Jesus and walking with him and listening to him. There is a woman. Her name is Berta Matthews. She's a wonderful woman. I don't know if she's still alive. But this woman couldn't tell you anything about John Calvin. She couldn't tell you about Burkhoff or Bavinck. But this woman went to church. And she listened to God's word being preached. She read God's word. And she tried to apply it in her life in the most basic, simple ways. And this woman brought some really funky people to church. Like her neighbors. Like she's this old little lady. And there's this big old biker guy. And she's like, you need to come to church with me. And because she saw it in the scripture saying like, share your faith. And what has been so amazing throughout my life, and this is something I want to tell you, even though I recommended systematic theology, I have met many people that can tell you everything about the scriptures, yet they don't do it. And I've seen many people that are very simple and just trust the scriptures like a child, and they're spiritual saints. You see, what you read, and when you recognize this is the word of God, it means it matters. And we have to hear it. So when we sit under the preaching of God's word, the question is not merely, did I understand? But the deeper question is, will I obey? Because where the word is obeyed, it is protected. Where it's cherished, it's guarded. And where it bears fruit, it proves that it was truly heard. God still speaks. Christ is still proclaimed. The Spirit still applies his word. Because of that, preaching is never casual. And listening should never be careless. And so our last question is, how do we get better at this? Again, this is a hard thing that we all struggle with. Like, I probably struggle with it more than you all because I don't sit in the pulpit that often and listen to preachers, right? You guys might actually be better at this than I am. And so the first thing is expect failure. If you should expect that you're going to fail in this, but that's where you improve and rest in Christ. You're going to get distracted. Your mind is going to wander. You're going to have Darth Vader with his guns going in your mind while the preacher is preaching. It's happening right now because I put it in there, right? Instead, ask God to help you in this area. Ask him to heal where you're weak and forgive where you've been careless. Ask him to give you strength to become a better listener. And that is just throughout time, just time and time and time. Number two, prepare before you worship. This is important. Begin with mentally preparing for worship each Lord's Day. And this, it's very practical. Do this to shape in how you consume before you go to church. Instead of scrolling through your phone and still scrolling through social media, consider playing your favorite hymns, your favorite praise songs before you even go to worship. Maybe there's a particular passage, a particular psalm that invokes your heart into worship, but start doing that as you prepare for the Lord's Day because it's training you to receive the word of God. And then you can go home and look at social media. But in the process, prepare as you hear the word being preached and being sung. Number three, use notes and tools. Take notes when you have a hard time following the preacher. Again, not all sermons are perfectly structured or easy to follow. When that happens, don't check out and be like, well, the preacher's just, I don't know where he's at. One of the most helpful tools when you have a preacher that is not structured is just take out a piece of paper and everything that he says, just give like a 1-2 word summary. And you can start following his logic, or maybe you can follow his logic, right? But it's taking notes. Jot down what you understand. Maybe in that sermon, you don't need to absorb a whole content. Maybe it's just one thing that the Lord is revealing to you and write that down. And reflect on that when you go home. Number four, don't expect to absorb the entire content of the sermon. Like, I spend a lot of time on these things. But you know what? I forget what I said the last week. right? You're not going to absorb the whole thing. You're not going to get the whole thing. So don't beat yourself up when you don't. But this is the thing. You should expect that God is speaking to you in this room, and it could be something basic. It could be something just unique. And so as you come, think, Lord, what are you revealing to me? It could be like maybe one to three things, but don't expect to absorb the whole sermon, right? It's like, I like steak, but I don't eat the whole cow, right? There's a point of our brains can only absorb so much. But number five, another way to help you with practical helping with sermons is talk to your family and your friends after the sermon. Maybe you're on the ride home and talk to your spouse or your kids and say, hey, so what did you learn about the sermon today? Right? And it's in the process of you guys talking that you're like, oh, you caught that? I didn't catch that. That's so cool. And it kind of germinates. The word of God germinates in your heart. And then you share, and then it's a blessing. I remember this when we went to New England. I'm really wordy today. I'm sorry. Preaching sometimes, it's like how to better listen to sermons, and I'm going to make you have to work on your attention span. Amazing that, right? Yeah. But there was this thing in England. We were planning on a church planting in England at one time. And there was this church at Gateshead. That was the name of the church. And what was unique in that thing is they specifically, after the preaching of the word was preached, everybody stayed silent in the pews for about 3 to 5 minutes. It was so weird at first. It was like prepare to meditate on God's word. And they were all like, okay, we're not going to leave for like 5 minutes. And it was silence. And I'm like, what is going on? And then afterwards, with the coffee break, everybody just start talking about the sermon. And that was just weird, but in a good way. And so don't expect us to wait 5 minutes after I'm done preaching. But what I am saying is take that and share what the Lord is working in your heart. And the more you share, the more it takes root. Again, take heed how you hear, not merely with your ears, but with your life. Guard the word, obey the word, and by God's grace, may the seed he sows in us not be snatched away, but grow and bear fruit for his glory. May God give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and lives ready to obey his word. May God bless the meditation of his word. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, that you are good and mighty, that you are great and powerful. And we pray, O Father, that you would just allow us to just rest in the preaching of the word, that you would work and transform us through it, that you would take a broken man and that you would heal a broken people, not by me, but by your powerful spirit through your word. Help us, Lord, we pray. And it's in Christ's name. Amen.